Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Oh,
Love incarnate, love divine. Star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, Savior of humanity. None to us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. No. Thank you.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship. We are the Bucker family, and we will be hosting this week's Sunday service. Thank you also for hosting us in your house as we join together in this worship service. My name is Patrick Bucker. Together with my wife, Melinda, we've been members of New Life for 6 years. Down here are our son, Isaac, and our daughters, Amira and Naomi. It's the fifth Sunday in the season of Advent, a time of waiting for the coming of the Christ. Each week, along with a reflection reading, we'll light a candle to remind us of this time of waiting. You are welcome to set up 5 candles of your own at home. Today, we light the 5th candle.
The story doesn't end with the baby in the manger. His birth was monumental, but it wasn't the end. With his birth, God came to earth to continue his plan to bring us back to him.
In that plan, this baby, God himself, would grow up to be a man. He would teach people by word and by example about what the kingdom of God is like and how people can enter it. He would send his followers out to spread the word in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. But the same Jesus would be accused, arrested, and sentenced to death. A perfect human, a human who had committed no sin. This human, Jesus, went willingly to his death because he knew it was his Father's plan. He was beaten and hung on a cross.
Jesus said, "It is finished." God's plan was accomplished. Jesus died on that cross, paying for our sin. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He conquered death and made a way for his beloved people to come back to him.
God created us. We turned our backs on him, and he had a plan to bring us back. It was a very costly plan, but it was a victorious plan. It was a plan to bring us joy, and that's what we celebrate today.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Emmanuel God, we are here today looking for you. We marvel and wonder at the Christmas story, the long-awaited arrival of our Savior. We come to cradle the Holy in our arms, to see you appear in the flesh, and to hear the newborn cry of the divine Creator. We consider the mysterious, the arrival of the Messiah as a tiny babe heralded by a glorious angelic choir and marked by a bright shining star. We stand amazed, gazing at all that is brilliant and bright, all that merges mystery with the humble manger. But mostly, we stand in need of your presence, the mystery of Christ revealed to us. You are with us always. Open our eyes to see you. Come, Emmanuel God, to dwell among us. Bring us your grace and truth. Amen.
The offering today is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to help those in need and to help families with Christian school tuition. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description. Please join me in prayer. Benevolent Father, your bountiful word creates us and sustains us. Continue to do so, we pray. Create in us a heart after your own heart. Sustain in us your love that holds all things together. Help us to enter into the hurt around us. In the need that surrounds us, give us servant hearts that know your will. Use us to accomplish your will. May the offering funds now given, move by servants' feet, through servants' hands, out of servants' hearts, to your glory. Amen.
Okay, kids. Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life Kids starts a new series. Our Christmas series this month is called
Light It Up.
Not just because of the colorful lights you see hanging on houses and trees, but because we celebrate the birth of
Jesus.
Jesus, the light of the world. If you want you and your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause this video and to set up your kids. And when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Good morning. It's great to be with you again on this final Sunday of the year. And I hope that you've had a good Christmas weekend with all of the celebrations, however restricted they may have been. Today we are wrapping up our series called A Christmas To-Do List, this being just 2 days after Christmas. And so we want to wrap that up. But here's the thing. In a Christmas to-do list, we could easily get caught up in all of the doing. And so also, as we think about Christianity, we could easily get caught up in all of the doing as well. For example, someone might ask you, are you a Christian? And you would respond with all of the things you do that demonstrates that you are a Christian. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray to God, I believe in Jesus. All of these things we do. Even perhaps 2 days after Christmas, we've quickly turned our attention and our focus upon a new year, and we get thinking about all of the things that we're going to do, and we probably mostly joke about all of our resolutions. But again, it's a concentration of all the things we do. Perhaps the best reminder for us at this time of year is that Christianity is not about our doing, but about what God is doing in us. Yes, we must keep on believing, as we talked about in the first sermon of this series, and we must keep on obeying as we followed Joseph and recognized the need to love, love, love. That's a lot of doing. And certainly, as the angels taught us, to keep on singing and rejoicing. And then as well, we talked about that we must keep telling the good news of great joy. But we must also take the time to cease all doing and simply wonder. To wonder is the last thing on our Christmas to-do list. I suspect that the problem with Christianity in a lot of ways in our current time is that we've lost that sense of wonder. We've taken faith on as our project. So Tim Keller writes in his little book called Hidden Christmas. He says, if Christianity is something done by you, there's no astonishment about being a Christian. You simply choose it. You simply do it. However, he writes, if Christianity is something done for you and to you and in you, then there's this constant note of surprise and wonder. You see what I mean? Wonder perhaps has been a casualty of all of our efforts to make our faith absolutely real and to be able to prove it to others. We try to be Christian and we try as hard as we can to prove to others that we really are Christian. And it becomes, in fact, a sort of self-righteousness. Excuse me. And we use it to compare ourselves to others. But to let wonder into our lives, to stand still for a time and to allow wonder to infiltrate our lives is to let go of that need to prove ourselves and humbly receive the grace of God into our lives. That kind of wonder is demonstrated by Mary as we return to her to reflect on her experience of that first Christmas. It's as if we would approach Mary and ask her, "How was your Christmas this year?" And she would say, "I am just so full of wonder." I'd like us to imitate that lingering reaction for all of our Christmases and for all of the coming new year. To imitate a kind of wonder that we see in Mary, a wonder of awe and amazement, but also a wonder of reflection and contemplation. We're going to take a look at those things in two separate passages. The first, from Luke chapter 1, after the angel comes to tell her of the pregnancy and after she's gone to confirm things with her relative Elizabeth, Mary sings a song of praise in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. She begins it this way: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." There's a sense of awe in Mary's expression that is meant to inspire the same in us. Mary, you recall, is the model of faith, the first true believer, as Luke presents it in his gospel. And what stands out is her humbleness. And when God acts, she's so thoroughly surprised and amazed that God is acting through her. And so here's the things that we learn about wonder, about that response to the great Christmas event. To wonder is to be filled with awe and amazement. And in the first place, it means rejoicing in God. My soul glorifies the Lord. Or in another translation, my soul magnifies the Lord. God is magnificent. He's bigger than life. My soul magnifies him, exalts him. Or as the Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. To be able to rejoice in God in every circumstance of our lives, always celebrating God, that changes your focus in life, changes your perspective, and you notice more the goodness of God in everything, even in the worst of circumstances, in the most anxiety-ridden times of our lives. This is, in fact, what we've been practicing each time that we gather for worship during this pandemic. And perhaps you've been tempted to give up on it because it's, well, just watching a video. And yet, as we gather together, we practice that sense of rejoicing in the Lord always. My heart and soul magnifies God. We need to continually remind ourselves of that, because otherwise we will lose the sense of wonder. But Mary also teaches us that to wonder is also to have a humble sense of self-awareness. My soul magnifies the Lord, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now, it's a wonderfully pious statement to make, of course, and we could probably cozy it up and think it's such a wonderful statement. But Mary's state of self-awareness is remarkable. Perhaps we would call it innocence, or maybe we would even tip the scales and call it plainly naivety, that she simply wasn't aware of herself or aware of her circumstances. She just existed. But perhaps there's something there that we need to imitate. When it's all about us, when it's all about you, when it's all about me, it's hard to wonder, because we're so caught up in identifying ourselves, in making ourselves aware of ourselves, of of bolstering ourself to make sure that people notice us. And then any sense of wonder quickly turns into worry. Worry about ourselves. Worry about our reputation. Worry about how others regard us. But with wonder at the Christ child, to simply wonder at the Christ child is to lose yourself, as Jesus said, to lose your own life, and then you gain it. We gain it when our identity is in Christ, when our attention is entirely focused on the Christ child born to us. Then we can begin to wonder and relinquish our worry. So to wonder is to rejoice in God. To wonder is to have that humble sense of self-awareness. And to wonder is also to recognize holiness. Mary adds, "He has done great things for me. Holy is his name." See, if God is simply useful to you, if Christmas means something to you only because it's useful for you, well then, it's going to be very difficult to stand in awe and amazement. You'll just grab a hold of the Christmas event and go, "Yeah, I can use that in my life. Thank you very much." When you recognize holiness, when you slow down to notice sacredness, when you pause for the presence of the divine, when you make life all about what God is doing, that sense of holiness helps you to enter into wonder. Because then you're amazed and filled with awe that you get to participate in what God is doing. That God has been gracious enough to you to allow you into his purposes, into his mission, into his project. And then it's not about what you are doing, but what God is doing. And that can fill you with wonder, the wonder of awe and amazement. But there's a second kind of wonder that Mary responds with in this Christmas event that I think we need also to learn to imitate. And it's the wonder of being lost in reflection and contemplation. And we pick that up from Mary when we pay attention to her in after all of the events of the Christmas event. After the birth of the Christ child, and the shepherds have come, and they've seen the child. And then Luke writes, "When the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." The shepherds tell people about the birth of a Savior, and here's what I want you to notice. The people are amazed, but presumably they just carry on with their lives. Yes, they're amazed. It's like, "Wow, that's really amazing." And then they carry on living. And then here in the gospel, the intent is upon the contrast. In contrast to people who are simply amazed, Mary responds with a wonder of reflection and contemplation. Mary treasures up all these things in her heart. She treasures this sacred event and she thinks about it, which is to say she reflects upon it. She lets this this whole surprising, wonderful event wash over her and impact her life, impact her perspective on living, a perspective that also infiltrates the shepherds' lives so that they return rejoicing and glorifying God. Does Christmas have that kind of impact on you that it changes the perspective of the way you live your life, of how you approach living? To wonder is to treasure up these events of Christmas. And many of us perhaps do exactly that. We treasure up all of the events of our Christmas celebrations. We call it nostalgia, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I don't mean to say you must do away with all nostalgia. I mean, nostalgia can comfort us, it can encourage us, it can soothe us. It has that sense of warmth and goodness to it. But here's the thing. Nostalgia cannot save us. And that's the difference between Mary's treasuring and our nostalgia. What Mary treasured was real salvation. To wonder is to hold to the events of Christmas because it's the promise of your salvation. And that is truly precious. That's something worth treasuring in our hearts. So to wonder is to wonder with reflection, contemplation, to treasure. But to wonder is also to reflect or contemplate on what Christmas means for you. And so many of the things that we usually do for Christmas have been restricted, pulled back, or scrapped altogether. And so perhaps it simply means that this is the best year for us to grab a hold of Christmas and take some time to wonder about Christmas. To wonder about what does Christmas mean for me? Christmas is a season of gift giving. What does that mean to you? What does it mean for you to receive the greatest gift of all? Gift giving. It's a curious thing, actually, if you think about it, if you contemplate on it. I mean, for example, some gifts are easy to receive. I mean, give me a gift of something to cook with, and I'll be delighted. It's an affirmation that I can cook, and I'll use that gift. I'll treasure that gift. But some gifts are harder to receive. My wife and daughters, they love to buy me clothes, for which I'm grateful, but also humbled, because it means that I'm quite inept when it comes to holding up fashion. And perhaps Christmas is something like receiving the latter gift. Perhaps we don't pause to wonder about what Christmas means to us because the true gift of Christmas is, well, it's difficult to receive. And we receive that gift without wondering what it might mean. Because as Tim Keller writes, again in this book called Hidden Christmas, he writes, Christmas means that we are so lost, so unable to save ourselves, that nothing less than the death of the Son of God Himself could save us. That means that you are not somebody who can pull yourself together and live a moral and good life. It also means that Christmas is difficult to receive. And so to wonder is, as Mary did, it means to ponder to think about what this means for me. To think not just for explanation, but to think in order to absorb the mystery. Albert Einstein, the great explainer of scientific things everywhere, said this: "The most beautiful thing that we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." That's quite a statement from a man who's used to explaining how everything works. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. I, for one, want my eyes to be open to that kind of wonder. I want to stand wrapped in awe. I want to be fully alive. And I suspect you do too. You and I, we want God to surprise us, to overwhelm us, to astonish us, to transcend us with the amazing gift of His love. That can send us into wonder. The wonder of awe and amazement, and the wonder of reflection and contemplation. And so, may you be astonished at the gift of heaven that you've received. And may it surprise you over and over again in the new year so that you can live with wonder and joy. Here's a poem by Susan Pelo-Shireen with which I will close. She writes, "Wonder is at the root of praise. Wonder is at the heart of Christmas. And not for one day only, but for each waking day. At the heart of Christ's incarnation is the truth that God makes extraordinary things happen in ordinary places. That heaven and earth, holy and earthly, God and human, are intertwined. The wonder of Christmas desires to creep into every living moment so that we behold the glory of God. The wonder of this holy day points to the wonder in all days. The wonder of the Bethlehem stable teaches us to find the wonder in all places. The wonder of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus leads to the wonder in the faces of ordinary people. O Mary, life is holy." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, fill our hearts with wonder this Christmas, and in the days and weeks to follow. Father, as our sights and our minds are now focused on the new year ahead and what it may bring, perhaps we are filled with anticipation that hopefully things will be better than they were this past year. Perhaps our hearts are filled with anxiety because we worry. We worry about what this next year also might bring. We worry that whether things might return back to the way they were. A time in which we could do whatever we wanted. God, maybe our minds are focused on all of the ambitions that we have for the coming year, all the things that we are going to do. We pray, Father, that by your Spirit, You will transform us so that rather than all of that anxiety of what we will hope for, what we will anticipate, what we will worry about, and what we will do can be changed by your grace into wonder. Wonder at what you have done. Wonder at what you will do. And may we humbly submit ourselves to you to be at your service, to be your humble servants, to submit to what you are doing in this world, and may we respond with rejoicing, with humility. And may we respond, Father, with a sense of holiness. May we respond with treasuring up all that you have done and all that you are doing in our own hearts and minds. May we reflect on them, because holy is your name. Great are you, Father. And so we rejoice in you. We pray this in Jesus' name, the one who came to save us. Father, we thank you. Amen. Well, go into this new week and into this new year, celebrating with wonder at the great things that God has done in you, to you, and through you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you this whole year through and give you his peace. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us deeper this morning. Today in Pastor Nathan's message, he encouraged us that during this time and during this season where we have time to sit in the process, to reflect for each one of us what it is that this amazing gift that has been given to us, and to spend time to wonder, like Mary did, how each one of us can accept that gift. So this week, take some time by yourself just to sit and to ponder and wonder about this amazing gift that God has given us. This is week 5 and our last week of the Christmas To-Do List Challenge. And so go ahead and reach into your bags and grab out week 5, and we'll go ahead and read that together. So, week number 5, drive around and look at Christmas lights. It's always fun. Number 2, spend time in the dark with just candles and your Christmas tree. And number 3, sit down and write the blessings you have seen in 2020. There's been so many blessings, and sometimes in this time of hardships or trials, we can focus on the negative. Let's focus on the positive, what God has done in this year. So, I want to wish you a very, very happy new year, and may God bless you.